Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hello, I'm Larry Mueller. Today I'm joined by Shelley Ryan, host and producer of The Wisconsin Gardener on Wisconsin Public Television, the Wisconsin Public Television 14th Annual Garden Expo starts Friday, February 9th from 4 to 9. Then it's on Saturday, February 10th, and then Sunday, February 11th. We'll give you some of the more of the times and details of that as we go along. Shelley and I, well, Shelley, you're going to be there all the time, aren't you?
Pretty much. I start fading late in the afternoon, so then either I may go home or shopping.
One or the other. But anyway, she and I will be together on Saturday morning at 11.
That's right.
And to answer questions. But of course, she's here to answer your questions right now. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And for questions, for good questions, for the first five people who call with good questions, we will give you a pair of tickets to the 14th Annual Garden Expo. So have a good question, give us a call, and we'll try to answer it. And you're working on a show right now. As a matter of fact, before we go to the phones, you've got a new show coming out when? March 4th.
At 5 p.m. And literally, I am working on it as we speak. We had some problems with equipment. So normally today is my day off, and they're still putting the show together downstairs while I'm up here talking to you. So let's wrap this up quickly, Larry.
We'll be done in less than 90 minutes,
perfect.
I can promise.
Perfect.
Promise you.
It should be a great show, especially sitting in this kind of weather, freezing our little feet off, looking at all this green and the beautiful flowers.
I tell you, if you've never been to that expo,
same thing, yeah.
Go, because it is really it really gets you thinking about spring. You see so many wonderful things.
Well, it actually starts to smell like spring because
yeah.
there's fresh flowers.
Yeah.
And as the crowd gets bigger on Saturday, it actually gets warm.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon you start to think maybe it is spring.
Annabelle in Fort Atkinson, hello to you. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. You're really making me envious when you're talking about feeling warm in spring. I hope mine is a good question, and I hope you have a good answer.
Uh-oh.
This morning I am trying to get my amaryllis bulbs set for another season.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had pretty good luck in having them stay alive. But the last year, I really did not get very good blooms for a number of them. I have quite a number. Some have been the amaryllis bulbs, you know, will split off and make little ones.
Right.
And I don't expect, you know, anywhere near even 70%, but I only think I had two or three that blossomed.
Mm.
My question is this. When I have started them, I have not done anything usually but just water them. Would I give them some help if I used a slight solution of a fertilizer?
Okay, first of all, how are you treating them over the winter?
I've had them in a lower basement room where they probably haven't gotten up above 50 degrees.
Okay, were you watering them during that time? Okay.
No, they've been totally at rest since I brought them in, probably late in September.
And are these fairly newly potted?
They're
in the same pots for quite a while?
They are in the same pots. I tend to sink the pots outside, and so I don't go through that, drag them out, and
yep.
all of that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, a couple tips then. After a couple of years of being in the same soil, I would be potting them in new soil because there is no food. There's a limited amount of food in potting soil. After two or three years, in fact, I just repotted some of mine, and even my babies that came off the original bulbs, they have flower heads on them already.
Oh, okay.
So I think after the soil gets worn out, it's time to repot them. You can add a little bit of fertilizer, but I find that at least my amaryllis don't seem to need it. The biggest trick, they say, is over that winter time period when they're supposed to be resting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the cold or the dark. Research has shown it's the drought because they come from Africa.
Okay.
And so they need to be withered away to nothing.
Okay.
So the other thing I would wonder is if you did you leave them down there long enough?
Well, they've been down there since I brought them in probably about mid-September.
Well, that should be long
enough.
I would think so.
Yeah. Then I think I would get a good quality new potting soil. And I noticed that the ones that give me the better blooms are more root-bound, so don't put them into too much of a bigger pot at all.
No. Okay, okay.
And
well, I hadn't thought about that, so I guess maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, if you have, if they have too much room, you'll get a lot of lovely leaves.
And am I remembering correctly that they need to be just partly submerged, maybe halfway?
Right, that bulb, you should be able to see the crown of the bulb and even a little bit of the bulb sticking up above the soil.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And do you want to go to the Garden Expo?
That sounds very good.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold, Annabelle, and
right.
Jim Packard has his pen in hand, and we'll get your address, and we'll mail you those tickets probably
today.
Thank
you very much.
We'll see you there.
All right.
And so we've got Annabelle. Let's go to Dick in Lake Villa. Dick, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a problem. I had a pepper plant that got a late start, and in the fall it had a lot of peppers on it. So I covered it when it got cold to keep it from freezing. And when it got too cold, I finally dug it up and brought it in and put it on the porch, which has got all glassed in. And at times, the temperature on the porch got up 60, 70 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But it never seemed to grow. And I've tried everything to fertilize it in the ground. I sprayed it with Miracle-Gro. And finally, it got too cold on the porch, I put it on the basement. And this is about 3 weeks ago. I've been trying to get in ever since then.
Now, these are these green peppers, you know, just the sweet peppers?
Just plain old regular green peppers.
Oh, okay.
You know, probably the best thing to do is to leave it in the basement and let it go into dormancy and rest. I'm experimenting with the same thing this year, but it sounds like you brought it in when it was cold. That may have shocked the pepper enough already that it wanted to go dormant. And you said how warm it's getting on your porch. How cold was it getting at night?
Well, if it got down below freezing or even close to it, I took and pulled it in the house.
Okay, but even if it was getting down into the 50s,
right. 50s is
pepper's
too cold.
A wimp, total wimpy plant. But I have had several friends of mine tell me that they dig up their peppers, pot them, and throw them in the basement and say, okay, rest, go to sleep. Then they bring them out again this spring when it's warm, and the pepper has a head start over every other pepper plant you own.
Yeah, the leaves are all turning brown, and they started this about 3 weeks ago, and no matter what I do, they just get worse. The peppers are getting red now.
Well, I would pick off the peppers, any peppers that are there, because you're not going to get any more growth off of them, and if anything, they're going to start to rot.
Yeah, well, the little ones have started to rot already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just, and it may not work, but I've had success with eggplant, too. Just leave it in the basement. Don't water it maybe once a month until spring gets here.
Should you cut it back at all?
Cut it back a little bit. Cut back all the real tender growth. And your basement's fairly cool?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just leave it there, and hopefully it'll think it's winter, and you'll get a head start in the spring. But you're not going to get any more peppers from it now. It's been too cold on your porch.
I tried this with a basil plant, too, and it did the same thing. But it started to grow, actually.
Well,
and then all of a sudden it quit.
Yeah, basil's another one. Basil, in fact, I think is wimpier than a pepper when it comes to temperatures. I have one in my kitchen that's doing great, but the one I had near the window died.
Yeah.
So, you know, must have been
as much luck as I am.
Well, you know, hey, all of us gardeners make mistakes. So I think that's part of the experience.
Well, I have a brown thumb.
If you kept the pepper alive this well, you do not.
Well, listen, do you want to go to the Garden Expo in Madison?
I would love to, but I'm 80 years old, and this weather is just too cold for me.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, then. Thanks for the question, and thanks for calling, Dick. Appreciate it. And then we'll go to Lisa in Burnham Wood next. Lisa.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I had bought some bulbs and didn't get them in the ground, tulip and daffodil. And I'm wondering about the best way to store them. They're firm yet. You know, they're not soft at all. So
mm-hmm.
Where do you have them right now?
I have them in the garage. It's not heated, but, you know, it doesn't really freeze in there, you know.
Okay. Then that's actually probably the best place. You want to keep them in a cool, fairly dry. The moisture is what could cause them to get soft and rot, or temperatures going up and down.
Okay.
So as we get, hopefully, into warmer weather, does the garage stay pretty consistent, or will it warm up too?
It stays pretty consistent because no one's home during the day.
Yeah.
It always seems cold to me when I get, you know, it still seems like the air inside stays cold.
Okay.
So
possibly the best thing to do is right now you want to keep them exactly where they're at, temperature-wise. Get a bag of peat moss or sawdust even, and I think I would, you know, get a box, fill it with a layer of sawdust or peat moss, put the bulbs in there, cover it with more sawdust or peat moss, because you're trying to keep the temperatures consistent until spring.
Okay.
And then you can plant them in the spring. Depending on how cold they were this year, you may actually get flowers this year or not.
Okay. Okay.
But get them in the ground once the ground can be worked. You know, mm-hmm. Early spring should be fine.
And that was another another good question.
Yes, it was.
Can you make it to Garden Expo?
You know, I would love to come, yes.
All right. Well, then we will put you on hold, and Jim Packard will get your address, and we'll send you the tickets.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks for calling. Okay. I've got to keep track here.
Two.
We have two.
Two went.
We have two. Two gone. Carolyn in Marshfield, we go to you next. Hi, Carolyn.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
I'm hoping there are two quick questions, and the first one involves Asiatic lily bulbs that I had purchased at Garden Expo last year, and unfortunately they molded by the time, or started to grow some mold by the time I got them in the ground when it warmed up. Should I just pot those, if I purchase them this year, should I pot those right away, or do they need to be dormant for a while, and should I just be storing them in peat moss?
You know, I'm guessing a little bit on this one. I don't think you want to pot them. You could, but I think you're better off, again, storing them the same way as the other bulbs, cool and dry.
Okay.
Because, again, what probably caused the mold was dampness or fluctuations in the temperature.
It was the temperature.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, it's always kind of weird buying something in February when it's so cold. But, you know, they should, as long as they don't get too warm, they're going to stay better. You don't want them to freeze.
Okay.
And then, again, get them in the ground. In those cases, with the Asiatic lily, I wouldn't put them in the ground. I would wait until after the frost.
Right.
And maybe I'm being a little oversensitive on that one, but they're not quite as hardy as, like, the tulip bulbs.
Okay. And then the second quick question is I have, I believe it's pronounced Brugmansia.
Brugmansia, yeah.
And what I do is I pot it, I have it outside on my deck, and then move it in during the cold weather. How often should I repot that, and how dry should I be keeping it, or should I be keeping it pretty fully foliaged? Because what happens is it does drop leaves, and then I've got just a few kind of speckles of some leaves on there.
Do you have it in a warm, sunny spot or a cool spot?
I have it in a cool spot.
Then I don't. Well, as far as repotting, that's not tied in with storage as much as the life of your soil.
Okay.
Every couple of years, if not sooner, frankly. I mean, a lot of my house plants I repot every year because the new food is coming from the soil.
Okay.
And that's usually used up in 1 year. But I wouldn't. This is not the time of year I would be repotting.
Okay.
So I would leave it sit. Again, since it's in a fairly cool spot, bright, dark, or
It's more dark. It's on a room that's on the north side of the house.
Then you don't want it to get to the point of bone dry, but you really cut back on the watering.
Okay.
For the plants that I want to kind of sit and rest, the ones in my basement, I'm watering maybe once a month. And that's a judgment call. If you see the whole plant starting to wilt, water it. But poke your hand in the soil. If it's still moist down below, like your middle, your big knuckle, then don't be watering it at all, because you want it to kind of go into, again, that resting stage.
Well, I'd had a beautiful purple one that I had kept up until, I believe, April, and then it molded on me. And I have a yellow one, and the yellow one has done. It lasted fine, but I was thinking, okay, what do I need to do differently to make sure this comes through again?
Yeah, and let's see, Brugmansia has, did you get the big, beautiful flowers on it?
Yes. But
well, then you did better than mine.
It took quite a while.
It did. Okay, that makes me feel better.
And that's why I asked about where I'm storing it. You know, is it something that needs the rest or not? Because it took forever for the pods to develop, and I actually finally got the big flowers more September, October than I did, anything before then.
But, because as I sit here thinking, I'm going to regroup a little and suggest you try a little brighter.
Okay.
Because it seems to me that a friend of mine up in Green Bay, who's been on my show frequently, had some sitting in his greenhouse. And even though it was in the shade part of the greenhouse, that's far brighter than probably anything we have in our homes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was cool, but it was bright.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have a spot like that, but I think I'd actually be trying to give it a little bit more light.
Okay.
Okay. And Carolyn, can you make it down to Garden Expo?
Absolutely.
All right, from Marshfield. I'll tell you what, we'll put you on hold. You are winner number three.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. And let's go to Joan in Baraboo next. Oh, Joan, I'll tell you what, we're going to hold on here because I forgot to re-identify and do all the things that I'm supposed to do at around 20 minutes after. Shelley Ryan, our guest host and producer of the Wisconsin Gardener on Wisconsin Public Television, our guest talking about the Garden Expo and, of course, answering your garden questions. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking gardening with Shelley Ryan, host and producer of the Wisconsin Gardener on Wisconsin Public Television. Larry Mueller here. She and I will be at Garden Expo Saturday. That is the 10th of February. We'll be on at 11 o'clock. We'll talk some more about everything that you can see at Garden Expo as we go through the show. And we're giving away some tickets. We've given away three pairs of tickets now. We have five to give. And we're
only two, Larry.
That leaves two.
Two. Two left, Larry.
And Joan in Baraboo, I think, is next. Joan, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have saved from my hosta plants a bunch of seeds from a bunch of different colored hostas. And I'd like to grow them. And I also have saved peony seeds. And I'd like to grow them, and I'd like to know, Shelley, if you have any idea how do I grow these? Do I have to cold treat them? Some of them I gathered after they had been through a period of cold. They were still on the plants, and some of them I've just kept cool. How do I grow hostas and peonies from seed?
Well, first question is, were the hostas any kind of hybrid?
Oh, probably. They were all different colored leaves. The yellow-leafed ones and the striped ones, and like Patriot and Sunpower and Guacamole.
Okay, the reason I ask is anything that's a hybrid will not breed true to seed.
No, but you might get something.
You'll get one of the parents.
Okay.
Which means it will, you know, which might be way fun. I'm thinking, I know that seeds are used with plant breeders who have a lot more expertise mm-hmm. than you or I. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to be kind of experimenting. I'm suspecting they're going to both need a cold treatment. And the easiest way to do that is, like you said, leave them out there.
Right.
Especially if you're going to try to identify which seeds came from which plant, though, you need to bring them in. I would start them indoors just like you would any other perennial seeds, meaning that they may take quite a while to sprout.
Okay.
Unlike, you know, a lot of the annuals come up and things like peppers pop up pretty quick.
So I probably want to start them pretty early.
I think so. Well, not too early. Because, again, if they're, you know, they're a perennial used to our cold climate, I don't think I'd be starting them much before March.
Oh, okay.
And I'm kind of guessing. I have not tried either one. I've talked to plant breeders who do it all the time, but they have, you know, greenhouses.
Mm-hmm. March isn't too far away.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
What do I do with, I mean, peonies. Nobody seems to know that peonies even make seeds along with tulips. I have some tulip seeds that I had saved.
Well, and a lot of tulips will reseed, especially the species tulips.
Correct.
You know, so those are. You could have just scattered around the garden and probably would have come up.
Okay, the tardas. Okay.
Yeah, exactly, tulipa tarda.
Okay.
Any of the species tulips will happily do that if given the chance and not eaten by the squirrels. The peonies and the hostas, I think you need to help those along more.
Okay. Wonder if they need a cold treatment or.
Well, that's what we said.
That we were just talking about, yeah.
Yeah, because they're perennials. Any prairie plant needs a cold treatment because it lives in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you've already, it sounds like you harvested them after the cold.
Well, when I cleaned up the peonies, they're only on the single peony plant, the single flowered peony plants, and I thought it would be kind of fun to.
Oh, yeah.
They're very hard little round seeds. Kind of roundish, and I'm wondering, do I have to scarify those too?
You know, because I've been playing, I play with the seeds. I haven't started them. I just play with them. But you're right, they're very hard. You can either scarify them what I find easier, soak them overnight in lukewarm, not hot water. Same as you would like a morning glory seed.
Okay. Okay.
And I would keep them in a cool, dry spot. That's going to be our buzzword today.
Sounds like it.
Everything stays in a cool, dry spot except me.
I'll put them out on the porch and yeah. It'll be real cold.
Well, as long as it's, yeah, and because they're okay as long, but again, you don't want it to go up and down. You just
right.
want it to stay that way. And then in March, bring them in and the hard seeds soak in a lukewarm water overnight and, you know, give them a shot. They're going
okay.
to need some bottom heat, like any other seed you start,
right.
and probably in a, like a little dome or a miniature greenhouse setting to keep them moist and humid.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, give it a try.
I've never tried that, and I really thought, well, that would be nice. I have space for them, and I thought I'll try it and see what happens.
Well, let us know. I'd be curious to your success rate on that.
And do you want to go to the Garden Expo?
I would love to.
Tell you what, Joan, we're putting you on hold. You're number four.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. I'm going to make that mark. We've got another one to get. Vince in Dubuque, Iowa. You're next. Hi, Vince.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I really enjoy your program. I don't know if I have a unique problem or not, but I planted a couple of arborvitaes in the fall. And there has been several deer, who have really been enjoying my arborvitae.
Oh, yeah, I bet they have.
They love them.
The other side, I have a row of arborvitaes that have been there for approximately 25 years, and they're not touching them. And I wonder why they're eating this young one, but they're not eating the other.
When they finish with the young one, they'll start on the old one.
They're taking the choice tender morsels first.
And actually,
there is, let me pull this out of my hat. There is one variety that was known to be less exciting to deer, and I think it was Gigantea. It was just one variety of arborvitae. Anything young and tender, though, this time of year, even things that are deer-proof, if the deer are hungry enough, they're going to eat them.
I see.
Anything young you plant in your yard, you cage.
Oh, I see.
Because
okay.
if the deer don't get them, the bunnies or the voles will.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the first year I planted in my, you know, my country yard, and I thought, me, the big gardener, I went out the next spring, and everything I owned was 2 inches tall. And I'm like, okay, who pruned my shrubs? And I learned the hard way. If you
yes,
have deer,
I'll have to be aware of that.
Yeah, just a simple hardware cloth, something around it so that they can't get to the tender pieces.
Uh-huh. Boy, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So they will go for this newer one because the leaves are allegedly more tender. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a younger plant. It's juicier. Uh-huh. Or it's a different variety, and they think it tastes better without salt.
I see.
I mean, you know, like Larry said, give them time. They'll probably hit the big ones, too. You know?
Yes, they probably will.
Well, Vint, do you want to drive up for Garden Expo, or can you not make it?
Oh, when is that approximately?
Next weekend.
Not
this weekend, next weekend.
Next week. I'm gutting homes in New Orleans.
Oh.
And so,
well, good for you, though. That's,
good for you.
That's a noble cause.
Yeah, thank you. Otherwise, I would jump at the opportunity.
Well, join us next year. You're not that far, and we have a lot of people from Iowa that come and visit.
There will be a 15th for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Vince. Mary in Germantown, or I'm sorry, is it Gilmanton? Mary, hi.
Hi.
Where are you calling from, Mary?
Gilmanton, Wisconsin.
All right, thank you.
The boonies.
No. How close is Gilmanton?
Well, I'm equal distance, 20 minutes away from each town.
Which towns?
I'm between Independence and Oliva and Gilmanton.
Okay.
That
right.
sounds like boonies. I bring a lot of plants indoors, and I'm wondering about the quality of sunshine they get with low-E glass.
It's not as great.
It's reduced?
It is reduced.
Oh.
The reason I know and answered so quickly was because we had an energy audit done on our home, and the fellow who did it was talking about the fact that the low-E glass does inhibit some of the rays of sunlight. And
you can hardly get normal glass.
Well,
and environmentally, to keep your house warmer, you don't want to.
No. So you're going to get a little less. Now, to what extent, he didn't go on into great detail, but I do know that there's less.
A terrible conflict.
Well, you can, first of all, if you've got an east or south facing window, you're probably still getting plenty to keep your plants happy. Otherwise, like me, you might have to supplement with some grow lights or just the fluorescent lights.
And I'm already supplementing with lights.
Yeah.
And that lady with the seeds, the hosta and the peony,
yeah.
I would suggest that she put some potting medium in a couple of Ziploc bags, moisten the potting medium, add the seeds, and then just keep them outside until spring.
To do the cold stratification.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they need a little moisture.
And, well, that's true.
And then you can just forget about them then.
Well, it sounded like she harvested them after they'd been stratified to some extent. So that's kind of where we were going. But that's a good point.
That is a good point.
You know, the other thing I was going to suggest is you bring a lot of houseplants in, as do I. In fact, I'm begging to add on so that we can walk in our living room. what I've done, because we've run out of room, is I put a lot of the tender perennials in the basement and say, okay, go to sleep.
Yeah, I have a whole basement full of them.
Okay, then you're out of room too. Okay, never mind.
Well, Mary, can you make it to the Garden Expo?
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, great. Well, I tell you what, I'm putting you on hold. You are the fifth and final.
Thank you.
Recipient. And you can thank our caller who just before you who couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Mark and Mellon, it's your turn. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great. Thanks for calling.
I've got an old dairy farm just outside of Mellon, and I have a small cabin with a loose rock foundation with dirt piled up around it. And I'd like some ideas on what to plant in that area to kind of form either ferns or shrubs or flowers along the foundation of that cabin, something that would spread out over the rock.
You want to be careful, though, something that doesn't start to actually grow into the rock, or do you want it to?
I want to kind of grow below the rock. The cabin's only set up on cement block foundation. It's an old farmhouse that we kind of converted into a deer shack.
So, do you want these plants to help stabilize the soil, or is that not an
issue? Just for looks.
Just for looks, and just to kind of cover up the openings in the cement block foundation, and just something for something that looks good.
Well, I'm a big fan of ornamental grasses. And they're not too popular with deer, which is going to be an issue for you if it's in an area where you get wildlife. There's a wide variety, everything from short grasses, like 5-6 inches tall, to 6-7 feet tall. So I think that would be one of the first places I'd look, because they tend to be low maintenance and not too many problems with insects.
And not as many problems with deer either. And they look great around deer hunting season when you're up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The other thing for deer proofing, I would recommend looking at some of the savory herbs, things with a strong smell, so the deer might not be too interested. Rue is a really pretty plant that people don't grow enough of, and it's got a bitter smell, a bitter oil to it. And
rue.
It's got, yeah, like metal, well, not metal rue, rue.
As in R-E-W? As in
R-U-E.
R-U-E?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's Ruta graveolens is the Latin. And it's got really pretty, lacy, blue-green foliage. And it has a strong scent that I don't think the deer are going to munch on too much.
Okay.
It's actually...
What about any ferns or shrubs? Would that...
Well, it's, if you have deer, you have to monitor anything like that.
Because they like that.
Yeah, they like that stuff very much. Or cage them. You know, there's a number. Are we talking full sun, by the way, or are we talking mostly sunshade?
Oh, full sun.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a little shade on kind of the north side.
Okay. Well, yeah, the sky's the limit as far as shrubs or ferns, but they're going to be more tasty.
Yeah.
So then you'd want to protect them.
I like your first idea the best.
I think the ornamental grasses, you can do a whole garden this day and age, and then interplant it with bulbs, and you'll have something in the early spring, too. And it will hide it'll hide the rocks or grow up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks much.
You bet. Thanks a lot for calling. Doris in Toma, your turn now. Hi, Doris.
Hi. I've taken to growing tomatoes in pots because I can't dig in the soil anymore, and I was wondering about the appropriate... names of tomatoes that would grow in pots and do well. I've had a couple of years. One year I had real good success, and the next not so good. So is there a particular variety that would be best?
Well, Larry's paging through something, so I'm hoping we'll come up with a few. The one thing I can tell you is to have success with tomatoes, first of all, don't grow indeterminate varieties.
Mm-hmm.
They're the huge, enormous ones that will continue growing, and unless you have a huge pot,
Okay.
So you're going to want to stay with the small determinate varieties, which will set all their fruit at once and maintain a small size.
Okay.
There's a couple heirloom varieties. I think one is called Silver Lace.
Okay.
I know that's available through Seed Savers Exchange. Other than that, I'm not thinking of any specific kind. Larry's still paging.
I'm paging through the Jung's seed catalog just to look here. And I'm
that
sorry,
should be good.
Certainly the cherry, and there's a whole raft of cherry tomatoes that...
Cherry tomatoes are a good bet, although they can get big.
I would like the regular tomatoes, though.
So. Okay, well, what probably the best thing to do is to... I assume you get some garden catalogs in the mail?
Oh, well, I haven't because I don't want to start that.
Oh, believe me, it's the best entertainment.
I'd go to the library, I guess.
Okay, well, and actually at the library, too, if you have access to the computer.
Okay.
Probably the easiest thing to do would be a search... For container tomatoes.
Okay.
Because a lot more breeders are aware of people like you and I that are doing a lot more in containers.
Okay.
And they'll tell you that this one will stay a certain shape. Some of them they'll say, well, this one's recommended for containers.
Well, I know one year I had just really nice, quite good-sized ones, and I was real satisfied with that. But the next year, it just kind of fizzled out. So.
Well, I know the other trick with tomatoes is they're heavy feeders. They need a good fertilizer. They need a really good potting soil.
Yes.
So go to a good nursery and get something quality.
That may have been the problem because I changed the potting soil, and that I know that would I'll do what I did the first year. Then I think that will work better. So. Well, thanks for the suggestions.
You're welcome. Yeah. And also water quite a bit?
Yes, I did that all the time.
Okay.
And you could call. I happen to have the Jung's catalog in front of me. Mm-hmm. You could simply call them and ask them which they recommend, and they'd be happy to tell you. And if you have a pencil, it's 1-800-247-5864.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. And, of course, there are other companies that do the same thing, but I happen to have them, their catalog here. So
I think the real trick is to be real picky on potting soil.
Yep.
I've noticed a difference, too.
Yep. Joan in Beaver Dam, your turn. Hi, Joan.
What an interesting program.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Well, I have the favorite old question now. I've been raising grapefruit trees. I have three of them, and they're about a foot tall. Now, you know, I want to see how long I can make them grow. That's my experiment, you know.
Yeah.
And what is the, right now I have them in my living room in the most sunniest spot where the light is. And then in summer when it gets warm, I set them out, but not in the direct sun because it gets too hot on my deck. So I have a kind of a light but shaded area so they don't, get too burnt or whatever.
Yep.
And but they've been growing good. And then I have my Jerusalem cherry, which the mother plant is so big. She had one cherry on where one of her children that I planted had like 24 on this year before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And she and the mother plant only had one on. So I saved that one cherry. So now, I planted it. I'm going to get seeds out of it. So that's how I've been raising them. But it's fun. I just love it.
Are you trying to get fruit from your grapefruit?
No, okay. I know that's not going to happen unless we get tropical weather up here.
Well, actually, no, the reason I ask is you started those from seed too, right?
Yes.
If you go, there's a company called Logies Greenhouse, L-O-G-E-E-S. Yeah. They actually sell a variety that will give you fruit.
Well, how big do they get?
Well, they had a whole section on citrus. They had... oranges, lemons, I think they even had kumquats, and I'm pretty sure they had a small grapefruit.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. It's a wonderful catalog. Even if you don't order from them, it's my fun Christmas wish book. Yeah.
What is it called?
Logies, L-O-G-E-E.
And where are they out of?
The East Coast somewhere, but they're famous for their house plants and their tropicals.
Okay, L-O-G...
E-E.
L-O-G-E-E.
And it's Logies.
Okay, so what do you think... I should just, now you talked about changing the soil again now, maybe in spring, you think maybe that's what I should do, change the soil again? Because I do use Miracle-Gro that I fertilize, when I water, every 2 weeks or so.
Well, in fact, this time of year, actually, you should slow down on fertilizing.
Oh,
we
slow
want
down.
Our, yeah,
okay.
We want our plants to kind of slow down as well.
Uh-huh.
And too much fertilizing now can stress them. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not what we want them to be doing.
And
but
trim the Jerusalem cherry. I can trim that one back now because it's really leafy.
This is the time to trim back anything so that it just slows down, goes a little dormant.
Uh-huh.
And then once, about March is when I start fertilizing again,
uh-huh.
trying to then say, okay, wake up, guys. but if you have not changed...
We could shake up a few people and tell them to wake up, huh?
Yeah, I wish there was fertilizer for me.
Send that message to Bush. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. And, you know, I just went online and logies.com.
There they are.
Pop right up. There they are.
It is a wonderful wish book.
Betty and Camp Douglas, it is your turn. Hi, Betty.
Oh, thank you for letting me on.
Sure.
I have a perennial problem. It's me perennially. I love rosemary. Every year I plant rosemary outside, and I just love it on vegetables and the meats and so forth. And every year I bring it inside, and it gets to about the end of December, and it's dead.
It's done.
I consider myself a rosemary murderer. And this year, I didn't bring it in before frost and lost it, so I went to a garden shop and bought a beautiful plant. It didn't make it past January 1st.
Rosemary is a Mediterranean plant.
I know it is.
I've had the same. Yes. I have had the same problem. And that I've gotten mine to live to about February, and then they usually develop scale or white fly or something and die anyhow. What I have read and what I've been told is the only way to really do it is to increase the humidity around it. That means put it in a big clear plastic bag.
Uh-huh.
And that helps keep it in the humid environment that it needs.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure it's not working, but I gambled this year before I knew we were going to get, down to about 2 below 0.
Uh-huh.
I left mine outside this year and buried it under a mound of leaves.
Well, we'll see that too, so maybe it will make it. But.
Well, let me know. I have a feeling with this week's temperature we're in trouble, but the roots may survive. But I know indoors it is a tough plant, and it needs moisture, humidity, and it also loves insects, or the insects love it, I should say.
Uh-huh. Well, I haven't had that problem.
Well, then maybe that's because it's dying sooner.
Yeah, I think my wife's got some going pretty well over the kitchen sink.
Show off. No.
Maybe there's enough moisture.
Well,
there,
exactly.
Right?
Actually, yeah.
That's why.
Uh-huh. But watch it, Larry, because they seem to just attract bugs later, insect problems later in about, like I said, February, March.
We'll keep an eye out.
Good luck. Yes.
Thanks, Betty.
Well, I'll try the plastic bag trick, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Shelley Ryan, host and producer of The Wisconsin Gardener on Wisconsin Public Television, our guest today on this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with Shelley Ryan, host and producer of The Wisconsin Gardener on Wisconsin Public Television, and she and I will be at the Garden Expo. She'll be there all the time. I'll be there with her from 11 to 12 on Saturday morning.
That's
this,
right.
This coming, no, not this
no, no,
coming.
A week from this
a week,
Saturday.
A week from this Saturday.
It'll be the 10th.
She has presented me with a delightful cap, the Wisconsin Gardener cap.
It's something new we're trying this year. We figure gardeners are out in the sun, therefore gardeners should be wearing hats on their head, and so we have Wisconsin Gardener hats.
And they're really cool hats.
Four colors. Ooh.
Four colors. Yeah. I like that a lot. And you even have T-shirts.
Well,
again.
We have, every year, I always remember the first year I said, let's do a T-shirt. And I was told by some people that's not a good idea. Well, it turns out gardeners wear T-shirts, too. And the new design for this year, we have a new design every year. This one is, I think, possibly my favorite.
It's beautiful.
Black T-shirt with a dark blue iris in the middle of it.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah, and a gold, kind of a rust-colored butterfly, and, of course, the words, the Wisconsin Gardener. So we will be sitting there proudly wearing our hat and our T-shirt next Saturday, and both of these are for sale, too. Not the ones we're wearing.
Not the ones we're wearing, but, and they're, well, they're, I know there'll be some T-shirts from past years. That,
oh, yeah.
We'll have a few gifts.
Little surprises.
We're having some door prizes for those who come to visit us between 11 and 12, so... I'm not sure what those prizes are, but I know in past years they've been great prizes.
Right.
So we'll be doing that again. And also, we should just mention, give us a little taste here before we go to Norm in New Auburn about all of the different things that are going on at Garden Expo.
Well, what isn't going on? I mean, you can attend seminars, workshops. You're looking just at one page. I'm looking at the Saturday schedule just of these are the lectures, the seminars, the do's and don'ts of home composting, fish and pond health. Ask the host. I think that's us, Larry. Landscaping with native trees and shrubs. This is one I should attend. Lazy Man's Landscaping. I think there's a show in there. Easy mushroom gardening. Now, that's interesting. I did a segment with these people from Peshtigo last year on the show, and I think I'm hooked. We can grow our own mushrooms just like any other crop. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in that, they're going to be teaching how to do that. And this is just a sample. I mean, Sunday we have the same choices, growing vegetables, conifers for the landscape. I think I'd ask any gardener, what do you want to know? And you can probably find out at the expo.
And if you even have specific questions, I mean, there are so many exhibitors there. And, of course, you've got your nice booth there.
Right, and Extension is there to handle anything.
Yeah.
You know, so if you've got insect questions, Phil Pelletieri will be there.
Mm-hmm. And I think Lisa Johnson's going to join us.
Is she?
I'm hoping. I said, come on, Lisa, you've got to come in case we get a question.
We get stumped,
you can join in. So she's going to be there, too.
Well, and on Sunday, I'll be doing a similar program with Lisa Johnson and Brian Huddleston.
Ah.
So the plant pathologist will be there as well. And his nickname is Dr. Death. So that should be an entertaining hour, too. You know, I'm also looking at some of the workshops where you can actually come home with a product. How to make a gourd birdhouse, which I think would be fun. Making a mosaic garden steak. Now, all of the workshops you have to register for in advance. This one, make your own living succulent wreath.
Ooh.
I don't want to be at the booth this year. I want to make one.
And how do people sign up ahead of time for that?
In fact, they go to the Wisconsin Public Television booth, or I believe they can even call ahead. We will also have the big supplement in the paper this weekend that has all of these schedules and workshops.
And I assume go online, too.
Go to WPT.org, click on Garden Expo. The schedule will come up, information about where to get tickets in advance, and how to register for any of the workshops you want. The seminars are just you walk in. But if you're going to do a hands-on workshop, you need to register ahead of time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Norm in New Auburn, we now go to you. Thanks for waiting, Norm.
Thank you very much.
Hi.
And enjoy talking to Shelley.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I hear you frequently on television.
Oh, wow.
My question is about orchids.
I've killed a few. I should be able to help you.
I have one orchid that has the leaves are green and it's the stem is green and... I have it in a dark place, not real dark, but out of the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should
and
be out of the sun.
And the other one, the leaves are brown and spotted, but the roots seem to be viable. What do you think about those two orchids?
Definitely they should be out of direct light. Orchids are real fussy about the soil. Actually, it's not even soil, but about the growth medium that they're in.
Yes.
And have you given them fresh orchid potting soil recently?
Potting mix.
You should do it every year.
Yes. Yeah.
Every year?
Yeah. They're one that you cannot wait beyond that because it's, you know, mostly bark and chips anyhow.
Yeah. Right.
And if it gets too soggy, you'll start to have root rot. But if you don't replace it, they aren't getting their nutrition. Oh. They also need to be fertilized much more faithfully than any other perennial.
Oh.
So I would be guessing that those would be the first steps I'd do.
How would you fertilize them?
Get an orchid fertilizer.
Oh, and special orchid.
Right. So go to a good garden center, get an orchid potting mix.
Oh.
Not potting soil. It's mostly bark chips, redwood, I think. I forget what is all in there.
Some sort of bark, I believe.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And then get orchid fertilizer.
I see.
And when you take the plant out, look at the roots. And if you've got any mushy roots at all, get them out of there. Take them away. You want only healthy roots remaining.
I see.
And one other thing, we've been pushing a Garden Expo, and we certainly are going to continue to do that. But if you're in Madison or in the Madison area this weekend, is Orchid Quest.
Oh, really?
And it is a wonderful show We just did a little program on that last Garden Talk, as a matter of fact.
Really?
And it's Saturday and Sunday. You could buy everything you needed right there, and then pick up some more orchids like we always do.
And get expert advice. The people that are at that are way over the top on orchids. So.
So well, I won't be able to make that, but
that's too bad.
I'll look around for this new bark to put in there.
Yeah,
definitely.
And clean out the roots.
Well, in fact, I was going to mention, especially if you do have soggy or ucky or funny smelling roots, is also a warning sign. When you cut them off, spray Lysol or something on your scissors after you cut them, because you don't want to spread it to your other orchid.
I see.
Because you could have a fungus or a root disease or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So I need new bark to put them in.
Mm-hmm. And then orchid fertilizer.
And fertilizer for orchids.
And then remove any mushy or smelly roots.
I see. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thanks, Norm. Tammy and Eau Claire, your turn now. Hi, Tammy.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions. The first one is, I have a Croton Bravo that I absolutely love. It's currently being sequestered in another room because last time I watered it, I noticed these tiny, tiny, white little wormy things in the soil. They almost look like maggots.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering what I can do to get rid of it, and am I going to be able to save this plant?
Well, in all honesty, I'm not sure what critter you're describing, but there's two first steps I always suggest. Either gently hose down the plant, like with a spray of water, or get Safer Soap. And Safer Soap is a contact. It works by contact, by smothering the insects. So you have to spray the tops of the leaves, the bottoms of the leaves, the stem, and the surface of the soil.
Okay.
That would be the first one of those two. Usually I go with the Safer Soap this time of year just because I don't want my plant too soggy.
Okay.
You might have to do it every 2 weeks.
Okay.
You might also, because I'm not sure what insect you're dealing with, if you can get to a local master gardener or a local extension agent with some of those critters, that might be wise.
Okay.
If you had a digital camera, you can take a picture and email it to Phil Pelletieri at the Insect Diagnostic Lab, and he will give you a quick answer on that, too.
Oh, all right.
That's an excellent idea.
I was given a box full of tulip bulbs that I have been keeping in my garage, which is very cold.
Mm-hmm.
Can I force bloom these?
You can try, yeah. I mean, if it's been cold, usually you'll have more success if they're stored in soil. You know, the standard is to bury them in the ground or to put them in pots and put them in the refrigerator. So you might want to, since you have a whole bunch, you might want to take some, put them directly into potting soil, see what happens. Maybe take another group and put those into pots in soil and put them in the fridge for a little while.
Okay, so it's not too late to try.
No, not at all.
Okay,
may work, it may not. If not, get them planted this spring and you'll get bulbs next year.
I've got nothing to lose.
There you go.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And we'll take some more calls. Joan in Eau Claire, your turn now. Hi, Joan.
Hi, I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I had transplanted a nice bunch of phlox from my parents' farm over in Taylor County. This would have been May of 04.
Okay.
And there was a lot of natural fertilizer in that soil, and the soil is very dark and really good black dirt. I brought it over here to Eau Claire, and it bloomed just beautifully, gloriously in 04, and it bloomed nicely in 05 also. But then in 06, it bloomed much later and not as plentifully. So I'm not really sure as to it would be as simple as just fertilizing, or I'm not really sure where to go.
We had a kind of funny summer, let's put it that way, across parts of Wisconsin. Did you have a real dry summer in Eau Claire?
Pretty much so.
That can make all the difference in the world. And these are outside, right?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. And we've had drought off and on the last couple of years. And the plants may do fine the year of the drought. And then the following year, you'll see the symptoms of the drought.
Oh.
In fact, I lost a tree this year because of the drought probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're mulch, it's my common buzzword. Especially because they tend to be a somewhat heavy feeder, and they like to be they get thirsty. So
right now we've got them in rocks.
Yeah, that's probably part of the problem. They tend to dry out. They would dry out probably a little too quickly in rocks.
Okay.
So get some mulch around them or move them to a little bit. Especially, remember they came from that real rich soil?
They did.
Putting them in rocks? Hmm.
Well, the top layer is rocks. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Soil down,
yeah,
of course.
Sure. But rocks tend to dry. Rock is not my favorite mulch because
sure.
It doesn't enrich the soil at all.
Sure.
So bark chips, shredded bark. Compost?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm betting they were stressed between the rocks and the drought.
Okay. Between the rock and a hard water place.
Yeah, there you go. What he said.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, boy. Shelley Ryan, our guest today, host and producer of the Wisconsin Gardener on Wisconsin Public Television and Garden Expo Friday, February 9th from 4 to 9. And then Saturday, February 10th from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then Sunday, February 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And, of course, it's all at the Alliant Energy Center Exhibition Hall in Madison. We want you to attend. She's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today to answer your questions. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with Shelley. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with Shelley Ryan, host and producer of the Wisconsin Gardener on Wisconsin Public Television. We have some open lines. Give us a call if you have a gardening question or it's maybe a question about Garden Expo itself. Happy to answer those at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And let's go to Heather in Monona. Heather, hi. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to give some advice to the person who was trying to overwinter their rosemary indoors.
Yeah, good.
I've been doing it for 4 years with great success. So
excellent.
The last few years I did it in the basement with grow lights, and this year, inspired by a friend of mine who just had hers in a sunny south-facing window, I put mine up on a table in front of my picture window that faces south. And they're doing great. The secret for me is that I miss them every day.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't use the plastic bag, that's almost what you've got to do. It just seems like they just shrivel up.
Yeah, I don't want plastic bags in my living room. No.
Well, and my cats find them fascinating, so that's kind of why I gave up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find you've had insect problems?
No, they're so happy they're blooming.
Excellent.
Oh, boy.
I think I tend to water them more often than seems like you would any houseplant. Every three or four to five days.
I wait for
their tips to droop just a little, and I go, oh, they're thirsty.
And away you go. Misting and frequent watering.
Or a plastic bag if you don't mind it in your living room.
I mean, they're so big right now, I'm going to have to cut them way back. The tallest one is over 3 feet tall, and the other two are 2 feet tall.
Well, or you could just give one to me, and then I can pretend I did. You know, one thing I've seen people do with rosemary, if you haven't already, is cut it into kind of a Christmas tree shape. They make a wonderful, since you've got so many, three?
Three.
Try playing at creating one into a topiary.
Sounds like more work than I want to do.
Well, if you're keeping them alive, it probably isn't. You're already successful. But I've seen some beautiful topiaries made out of rosemary.
Uh-huh. I might have to try it.
Thank you for calling.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Good advice.
Yeah, great advice. Thanks again, Heather. Amelia in Oregon, your turn now. Hi, Amelia.
Hi. I have sort of two piggyback questions. The first is, I'd like to know the earliest that I can plant my onions. And then the second part of that question is, can you review for me the difference between long day and short day onions?
Okay, first of all, are you doing sets or seeds?
The sets, the little bulb sets.
Okay, I believe sets still have to be done after the frost then because they're living plants already. I know seeds can be done much earlier, and I've been told they're easy. I've had some struggles, but it might be because my soil's heavy clay.
Because I sort of mark it as when I get back from Hawaii in the middle of March, I throw in my sets.
We might need to double check that. I thought that the sets were supposed to be done a little bit later, but I could be wrong. In fact, Larry's again typing frantically, so we'll see if we can come up with some more answers. As far as long day, short day, As I understand it, we need the short day varieties here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And that's, I don't know if that's enough explanation, but when I get into it any more, it gets complicated. The onions that grow down south have a longer day.
Oh. Okay.
And that's why they are more successful down there. We have a shorter sunlight, regardless of how hot it is in August. And you need the short day varieties.
Okay. All right. That's good. That helps.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. If I come up with some more here, I'll pass it along. But
I could be wrong on that one.
Your advice was pretty much on the mark there. So.
Oh, good.
Chip in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Chip.
Hi. I had a question, actually two questions. About pretty close to 3 years ago, I started a little freak boredom project. I picked up a bunch of produce from Arizona, or not produce, but fruit, like lemons, limes, grapefruit, and oranges. And I brought it back here to La Crosse, and I was eating it one day on a porch, and I saw this big, humongous pot that I had, and I thought, well, I'm going to just try something. It'd be nice to have each one of these trees produce fruit for me. But I knew they wouldn't grow it out here in the winter, so I took one seed from each one and cut them up. And then I super glued a piece of each one all together and made one seed. And I filled this pot up with sand and a whole bunch of potting soil, and I stuck the seed down in there, and I put it inside the house. It took 7 months, but it finally started sprouting, and now the thing is so big, and it's producing so much fruit. Got grapefruits, which are really sweet, and which I think they're getting from the orange part, but the oranges are really sour. And the lemons and limes are really, really good. And it's kind of a weird-looking tree. But the thing is getting so big, and I was just wondering if it'd be safe to transplant something like this mutated configuration I created into the ground outside, and if it would last in the wintertime.
The first thing you need to do is take a lot of pictures of this.
You should see the eyebrows on both of us. I have never heard of such a thing.
Well, I thought, well, you know, I'm really stupid. This ain't going to work. But I just figured, you know, I was bored. I figured I'd just try it. And I'll be darned. 7 months.
A
month or two later, I could realize nothing's happening. So I just gave up on it. I didn't do anything with the pot or anything. I just left it sit there.
I would take lots of pictures. You might even want to see if a local grower wants to buy the patent from you. And no, I would not plant it outside because it will still be tender even if it's a mutant.
Okay.
But
another question I had is, has anybody ever even done anything like this? I mean, I've heard of people taking, like, slivers of limbs or something and adding to another tree.
Of anybody grafting a seed together like this. Like you said, people will graft a twig. You know, you can you can buy a blueberry plant with three different kinds of blueberries on it, but it's not from the seed being super glued together.
Yeah.
You might want to get on the web and do a little browsing, but you may have something there.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
I figured I killed it when I super glued it, but I didn't think it was going to work. And then 7 months later, I happened to walk by. I had the pot sitting there in the living room, and I walked by it, and I looked down. I'm like, what in the heck is that? A little thing sticking up out of the soil and a little green thing. I'm like, oh, be darned. One part of that seed is growing. Well, it turned out now that it's been almost a little over 2 years. It's one big, humongous tree, almost touching the ceiling.
Yeah, you might need to do a little pruning.
It's got like four different sections to the tree that's a little bit different, but it's all combined into one tree. And each section produces its own little fruit, but it's kind of like the flavor has spread between all the fruit.
You have got to take some photos of this. I would, do you have a digital camera, Chip?
I don't have a digital camera. I've got a webcam that takes still pictures. I could probably take a picture with that.
And also you might want to contact, I don't know who, but...
Gerald Roper.
Except he might just cry, you know, from some...
I fed it, when I first planted it, I watered it every single day with a heaping amount of Miracle-Gro, and it was just in some regular potting soil and mostly sand. I filled it up because I had a whole bunch of sand in my backyard, so I just filled the pot up with that.
So you had a lemon, orange...
Grapefruit.
And lime.
And lime. You know, you might want, we talked earlier about a greenhouse called Logies, L-O-G-E-E-S. They specialize in houseplants and tropicals and have a huge line of citrus. You might want to call them and tell them what you've done and send some pictures.
The only problem is I think it's going to grow out of my ceiling.
You can prune it.
Oh, okay.
You know, and in fact, now is a good time to do that. You know how to prune carefully and to go down to the branch junction and just cut it back there?
Oh, okay. Well, I've never pruned a tree before.
Yeah, well, not in my living room, no, but I'm impressed.
I am, too.
The pot I put it in was like a two-foot-wide pot, and it stood about 2.5 feet tall. It was a big ceramic Mexican-style pot. Well, it's outgrown that, and I had to make a pot, and I made a pot out of wood, and I lined it with a stainless steel sheeting on the inside with little holes in the bottom.
I want to see this.
And I put reels on it so I can push it around.
Okay, Chip, you can also root prune it. Because of the bizarre nature of the seed it came from, be very gentle when you take it out, but you can keep it to the size you want by pruning the roots back every couple of years.
I'd have to dig it out.
Then it doesn't grow you out of house and home.
This thing's pretty darn big.
Yeah, I think I'd be doing some root pruning and some upper pruning. Only about a third of the roots.
Okay.
At the most.
You should shoot some footage of this for the Wisconsin Gardener.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
I know the oranges aren't very tasty, but they're there, and they're not very brightly orange, but they are there. And each section, it's like four different sections of the tree. Each section has its own fruit.
Chip, I tell you what, if I put you on hold, would you leave your name and address with Jim Packard?
Sure.
Because Shelley might want to come. I'm sure.
Shelley likes to do stories on things like play with your plants.
So... it's a great story, Chip, and I'm going to put you on hold, so hang there, and Jim Packard will come online and get your address. I want to see this.
I'm intrigued. Yeah, we got to get this on camera.
Oh, absolutely.
And if I find out they're glued. No.
and hopefully, you can get it on camera quick before he has to prune it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joanne in Neshkoro. Hi, Joanne.
I always enjoy your programs, every one of them. To the lady that wants to know how long a grapefruit tree would live, I got, when I started babysitting for my neighbor girl close to 40 years ago, her mother sent a grapefruit which had a seed in, which was sprouted, so I planted it. I still have that grapefruit.
Good for you.
And it's 6.5 feet tall. It's in a 5-gallon bucket of dirt, and I take it outside every spring and inside every summer, or every winter or fall. And it sits in one corner of my living room, and I put Christmas tree lights on it.
Now, please tell me you didn't get fruit from it.
No.
Okay. After our last call, I'm getting a little nervous here. But
no, I'm not that good.
Well, it's kind of the rule of thumb with any tropical plant. It's kind of the same rule of thumb as with the lizards my son got for his birthday present. They can live 4 years or 10, depending on the care they get.
Oh.
And anything that's tropical, such as a grapefruit or the lizards, it depends on what you can do to keep them happy. So
well,
good job.
Yeah, I actually have two. Once that grew, then I started planting grapefruit seeds all over the place, and I gave a lot of grapefruit plants away. And I have a second one also that's,
pretty cool.
So
thanks, Joanne.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Oh, great stories. Millie and Delavan, your turn. Hi, Millie.
Hi. I have a Clivia plant that... I tried sticking something in the dirt a while ago, like a fake flower, and it seems like it's just all roots in that pot. I'm hesitant to transplant it, but I'm sure it needs it. What would I do? What would I use for soil? How much bigger of a pot would I use?
Okay, Clivia is kind of a stubborn plant. It will not bloom until it's root-bound. So I don't know that I would rush anything right now. You may get this might be the year that you get glorious blooms.
Well, it has bloomed the last two or three summers when I put it outside.
Okay.
Before that, I hadn't put it outside. I got it from my mother-in-law or from my father-in-law after my mother-in-law died probably 11 years ago. And I did nothing with it, kept it in the house
exactly.
All the time, and it never bloomed. Now I put it out under the shade tree, under the willow tree, and it blooms. Once in a while, I'll look out, it's blooming.
Then it's already root-bound. Then, yeah, if you start to think it's too root-bound, then come March, April, you could repot it. You'll only want to go up like one pot size bigger.
Uh-huh.
And, again, I always stress a quality sterile potting mix.
Okay.
You know, don't go to the local hardware store. Go to the garden center. I've learned my own mistakes. And then it may not bloom for a little while, though, because it needs to grow back into being root-bound again to bloom.
Okay.
But I have to tell a story because I had a Clivia, and for years and years I tried to get that darn thing to bloom, and it didn't, and it didn't, and I got mad at it, and I threw it off the porch. Then it bloomed.
Well, I had two of them. She had two of them, and I tried at one time taking that one, and I, you know, broke it up into smaller parts, and they all died on me. So,
oh, dear.
I'm just hesitant to do something with this one, but like I said, it's just all roots in that pot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, just don't go too big.
Okay.
And again, the best potting soil you can get may be the trick. But I would wait until March when it's ready to start its growth spurt for spring again.
Okay, very good.
All
thank
right.
you.
Yeah, thanks, Billy. And Margaret in Polonia, your turn. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I have a rosemary rotation system
okay.
that I always have fresh rosemary. Here's the steps. First year, I buy planted from the nursery. I bought Madeline Hill. The second step is in midsummer, I take a six-inch clipping.
Mm-hmm.
I dip it in hormone root,
mm-hmm.
and then I put it in a small pot. The second summer, I plant the now-rooted clippings in my garden. The fourth step is midsummer, I take the six-inch clipping from these plants that I just planted.
Oh, okay.
And then I pot and root them the same way. Then in fall, I dig up the original clippings, pot and winter with new clippings in a sunny window. Then the sixth step is I dig up the original plant and bring it also in.
So it's still alive?
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. The next step is through winter, I take sprigs from the first and second year plants, so I have that fresh rosemary. And then I just repeat this process, harvesting all the leaves on the third-year plant.
Okay.
And in the third year, I let that die because I figured out that I can only dig up those plants 2 years. And after that, they don't like to be dug up.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Good. Well, wow.
Have you got that all written down, Margaret?
Yes.
you've got to have that written down.
Yes. But it's just a simple thing of taking the six-inch clippings, rooting them, and then for 3 years you keep those plants. Until
kind of, a plant propagation cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very similar with my scented geraniums. Every year they get too big to bring back in the house, so I take clippings, bring them in the house, and just let them sit there and stay little.
Uh-huh.
Then I plant them back outside.
Uh-huh.
But the original plant is long dead by then, so that's mm-hmm. the only difference. You must have a pretty hardy variety of rosemary that it's overwintering.
Well, and I said, but I'm taking them all in winter.
Oh, so you're bringing even the original parent plant.
Yes.
Oh,
and then
okay.
I harvest off that original parent plant.
Okay.
And that's how I keep getting my rosemary.
Oh, okay. So you've always got a new young crop from
yes.
that original. Okay, that makes sense. That's a
yes.
good idea.
And in that 1 year, they've grown enough that I can get a lot of plant. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Appreciate it.
Good tip. Good idea. And we have some open lines, so you can get on at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And Eben in Edgerton, you're next. Hi, Eben.
Hi. I got a ponytail fern back just before Christmas in it's in a little square pot, like a cement sort of pot. It's like 6 inches by 6 inches and about 4 inches high, the pot is.
Okay.
And it's like it's glued little rocks around it, and I'm not sure how much to water this thing without killing it. They said not to water it. Ponytail palm.
Oh, I was just going to ask
I'm
you
sorry.
That.
Yeah, mm-hmm. ponytail palm. And we give it about, I believe, 4 tablespoons of water every 2 weeks because they said not to water it very much.
Mm-hmm.
But the trunk looks like it's shrinking away from where those rocks were glued in. But I can't actually tell what kind of soil or if there is... if it is dry down underneath because I can't get through the rocks, should I try and take it out of that?
Yeah, well, okay, first of all, that kind of bulbous root
yes.
is its water storage. So
right.
if it's pulling away, it probably needs more water.
Okay,
because
good.
You want to keep it kind of, I mean, it can survive. That's why it's shrinking. But you want to keep it kind of plump. I'm not quite sure why the rocks are glued in there, but my first thought would be to take them off, too,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to be a breeding ground for who knows what, and eventually you may need to add more sand or whatever kind of mm-hmm. medium it's planted in.
What would be the best medium to use? Would it be sand rather than soil? Or
Tropical plants can be fussy. I think I'd do a little research or go to a good garden center and find out if they have something specific, because each group of tropical plants can be completely different. It might be a mix of sand and soil. It might be just pure sand. But I'd get the rocks off, because then you'll be able to see what's in there.
Okay, good.
And, you know, then do watch the watering. It sounds like it's thirsty.
Yeah, and the bottom doesn't, the reason that they told us not to water it very much, so we were trying to watch that real close, but there's no drainage or anything in the pot that it's in.
Oh, I think I'd be looking at getting it into another pot.
Good. And with this, can we do that this time of year?
First of all, you've got to find out what kind of soil to put it in, or sand. Mm-hmm. So check that out. But my favorite time of year is really March, because it's not too cold, so you're not stressing the plant, and they're all getting ready to kind of spring up and start growing. So they recover from transplant shock a lot quicker.
Okay, I thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling.
Interesting question.
Annette in Stevens Point, your turn. Hi, Annette.
Hello. You had an earlier caller about that was had some questions about amaryllis, and I've had really great success with amaryllis. Mine are very, the original ones are quite old already, like about 15 years old,
mm-hmm.
but they've gotten bigger and bigger, and they're in about 9-inch pots now, and they send up 3 stalks, and each stalk has 6 flowers on it.
Very pretty.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful. And what I do is I found that just giving them regular fertilizer wasn't enough. They need to have fertilizer that has from the seaweed, or also fish emulsion is really good for them. And then another thing that really helps is a product from Gardens Alive called Bulbs Alive.
Yes.
And you only need about 2 teaspoons for a mm-hmm. large pot. So it goes a long way. And I find that that really helps as well. And so that lady whose plants weren't doing so well, that might help. The other thing is I feed them all year round, except when they're dormant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to keep them growing after they're done blooming.
Right, that's when they're storing their energy for the mm-hmm. next batch of flowers.
And then in the spring, when I put them outdoors, I put them out on the north side so that they get early morning light,
mm-hmm.
and then gradually put them out into full sun.
Well, good point. Anything should be slowly acclimatized mm-hmm. to the weather.
And then you have to watch the water on them in the summertime, because they do need water on a regular basis.
Right. Some good points.
Thank you very much for calling, Annette. Appreciate it very much. And we should talk just a little bit more about the Garden Expo. We've got that coming up February 9th from 4 to 9 p.m., February 10th from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Sunday, February 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the Alliant Energy Center Exhibition Hall. It's a great place to have a venue like this. And Shelley and I will be there from 11 to 12 talking on Saturday morning.
That's right, in one of the lecture halls.
You can see and hear. Well, you're going to see. How many exhibitors?
Oh, over 250. I forget what we're up to now. It just keeps growing.
250 exhibitors. You'll enjoy the aromas, and you will get a big kick out of all of the advice and all of the things just to see, and a chance to meet with Shelley and other UW Extension experts.
That's right.
Horticulturists and so forth that are going to be there to help you out.
If you've got a question, we can answer it somewhere in that building on that day. I mean,
there's no way you won't get an answer. Shelley, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Look forward to working with you again this year.
Next weekend.
Shelley Ryan, host and producer of The Wisconsin Gardener on Wisconsin Public Television. She's got a show coming up, a new show, March 4th.
That's right.
So we'll look forward to that as well. And thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.